still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? This is one of those wonderful verses in Scripture. It's likened to, if you think about it, Paul's equivalent to John 3:16, which we know so well. It's also one of his lovely phrases he uses, "but God." As we come to communion, let's meditate upon this verse. Paul here says, while we were still sinners, in rebellion against God, being reminded that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one, but God. Isn't that lovely? But God. Nothing lovable about us, but God loves us anyway. He knows the worst about us, but he loves us still the same. Or as Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were still dead in trespasses. But God, when we were ungodly, still in enmity with God, God desired to save us. He makes us rich in his mercy. We were unspiritual, but God sent his Holy Spirit that we might become born again by the Spirit of God and know the things of God. We were lost and going to a Christless eternity, but God wanted to give us forgiveness and the wonderful gift of eternal life. How did he demonstrate his love for us? As we reminded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, Jesus laid down his life for us. He died so that we might live. And John tells us, greater love has no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. And Jesus says to us, we are his friends if we believe and trust in him. That's the wonder of it all, as we are reminded today of what Jesus has done for us. Christ died for us. What does that mean? Well, he died in our place as our substitute. He did it for you and for me. Why? Well, we didn't ask him to do it. We're ungodly. We're without God in the world. We're hopeless. He did it because he loves us. For he loves us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us. He loved us because he knew our situation. He knew our need. He knew that without him, we are lost for all eternity. But he died for us. That's amazing love indeed, as we gather around his table. The hymn writer put it like this: I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Yes, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friends, that's the wonder of the gospel. That's what the gospel is all about. God doesn't tell us to go out and improve ourselves, to try a little harder, to go through ritual and ceremony to make ourselves more acceptable to Him. All He asks us is to come and accept what He has done for us on the cross, in our place, as our substitute. He longs for us to come and know His love in our hearts. And so He instituted this memorial service. As we gather around His table, we are reminded this broken bread, this grape juice of His blood shed for us, that we cannot take this lightly. We cannot take it casually. We come recognizing the great sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. And we come with grateful hearts. We come with thankful hearts. We come saying, Lord, we love You. Help us to love You more. And as we start out a new year, may it be our prayer, Lord, increase our love, increase our faith. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ, day by day. Maybe this is the year that the Lord may return. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so when we think about that, we need also to be constantly ready for that return. Because Paul reminds us that we only do this until the Lord returns. Then we won't need this before us. We will see Him and see Him as He is. We will see those nail-scarred hands, the mark in His side. And we will be reminded for all eternity of that great love for us. So, dear brothers and sisters, come today. And as you partake of this communion, make it your prayer, Lord, help me to serve You this coming year, that I may be prepared and ready, should You come again, or should You call us to be with You. It's a wonderful opportunity for us. And we invite all who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to partake of this. Maybe you on the fringe of faith, we would say to you, consider carefully, as the Scriptures remind us, because this is for believers who trust Jesus as their Savior, and we would encourage you to maybe even now turn to Him and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray together. God, in His infinite love and mercy, gave His only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us sinners on the cross. He atoned there for our sins that we might become God's children by adoption and grace and have everlasting life. We have come to remember Christ's death and all that it means as He Himself instructed. But before we do this, we must judge ourselves. We must repent of the sins we have committed. We must firmly trust in Christ our Savior. And above all, we must praise and thank Him for His great love for us. You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, come near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen you in your daily life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to come and partake here. If you're not able to come up, please don't worry. At the end of the service, we'll ask you to put up your hand and we will then come and attend to you. But we invite you to come and make this a commitment to the Lord that you want to follow Him in this year ahead. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this solemn moment that we have spent with you, remembering your love and sacrifice for us. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy poured out to us, and that you have drawn us to yourself to become your children by adoption. We pray that you will help us, the beginning of a new year, to make that commitment to you, to serve you more, to love you more, to follow you more. And that, Father, we may go out from here rejoicing in your great love for us, and help us to share it with others. And we ask it in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to the first Sunday of 2015. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready. I need another week to prepare, I think. But here we are, first Sunday. Would you stand and welcome the people next to you and just greet them? Happy New Year to them as well.
One of the students, he's helped before a little bit with the children's musical. So he's not totally, a little bit, but I just said, all you got to do is this. Happy New Year to your brother.
You're ready.
Happy New Year.
I know you're always
happy.
Ready.
Happy New Year to your brother.
It is so awesome to just have the privilege of standing here and watching our church, this church that my family calls family. It's so awesome to see you welcoming one another so genuinely and with so much love. And that is, after all, what we are about, is to show Christ's love to one another as he has shown us. If you're new today to Woodbridge, we'd like to extend a special welcome to you. We have a visitor's card in the seat pocket in front of you. We would just ask that you take a look at that, fill that out. You can drop that in the box out in the lobby just before you exit the doors. And then also we have a visitor center just to your right as you exit outside, and we would love to just get to know you a little bit better and to properly greet you. Also, church, as you know, we have another card in that seat pocket. It's our encouragement prayer request card. And so I would just encourage you to encourage one another as God has taught us to do. Take out that card and just encourage someone who may need it. Write down your prayer requests if you need it, and we will be sure to pray for you. Today after church, we have the Christmas decor. It's going to go back in the boxes. If you would like to volunteer, it should only take it takes longer to put it up than it does to take it down. So if you would care to help us take it down right after church, we'll be here taking down the Christmas decor. And then I'd just like to refer you to your bulletin. There's a number of other announcements. Men's breakfast, growth group leaders meeting a week from today. Youth Friday nights resume on January 16. And then there's the Next Step class. Perhaps coming into this new year, you have some New Year's resolutions. I hope that one of them would be to know more deeply or follow more closely Jesus Christ. And so this Next Step class is for you if you're not a member of Woodbridge. And then Pastor Frank also is going to be preaching and encouraging you in 2 weeks to join a community group. I would just ask you especially to pray about that and to seek and follow Christ more closely. And so now we'll give back to God his tithes and our offerings.
Thank you, John. I'd like to call the ushers for offering. Thank you. Father, thank you so much for the gift of every gift that you have given to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this is a simple expression of our love to you as we give our offerings to you. Thank you. Lord, as we face 2015, we want to see you, Lord, and as we want to offer our lives back to you for your glorious name's sake, for you alone, for you alone. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Is our worship team awesome or what? God, I just love you guys so much. You are such a blessing. Would you all stand with me this morning as we read? We're going to read two pieces of scripture, one from the new and a section from the old. 1 Timothy 4:8. Here's a great verse for you to think about this year. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this: "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come." Isn't that an interesting verse? Psalm 1 says this: "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes this morning to come to this house, to this place of meeting, to meet with God this morning. There's a purpose of why we've come, God. There's a purpose in why we've left our homes to come here. God, we want to meet with you this morning. We come to worship you, Lord, this morning, in spirit and in truth. We come to learn this morning from you, Lord God Almighty. Jesus of Nazareth, you are the great rabbi, the great teacher, and we are your disciples. We pray that your spirit would just fall upon us this morning, that we might understand the things that's been freely given to us in the scriptures. May you teach us this morning, individually and collectively. Touch our eyes, Lord Jesus, that we might see this morning. And touch our ears, Lord, that we might hear this morning what it is you wish to say and speak into our lives. And this we pray for no one's glory but yours alone. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we say such things. Amen. And y'all may be seated. Have you written 2015 yet? It's weird to write, I got to tell you. Putting it on a check or in my prayer journal, I was 2015. It seems like just yesterday. Remember the Y2K bug? And the world was going to come to an end. Y'all remember that? That was 2000, 15 years ago. 15 years later, here we are. I just can't believe it. And who knows? That's why I just say, maybe this is the year of the Lord's return. Would that be all right with you? Would that disrupt your plans? Think you can handle that? That'd be all right, you know? I think you could, that would be all right with me. You might go, no, I've got a trip to Hawaii. No, I'm getting married this summer. Wait, Lord, you know, but I don't know. It sounds pretty good. You know, we celebrate time. We just did this last year, didn't we? Just recently, New Year's Eve. We celebrated time. And friends, yet our God is outside the realm of time. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, which means God is eternal. He's outside the box, the realm of time. He creates time. Think about that. That's just mind-blowing. And yet here we are celebrating time. And for you and I, this room, it's 2015. So, hey, Happy New Year. Hope you guys had a nice time, New Year's Eve, and things are going well. A lot of people do, what do they do usually about this time of year? They make resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Have you been to the gym lately? It's packed. It's packed. I couldn't believe it. My kids, my son Jordan is just ripped. He's going to the gym every day, and all three of them do. And they're like, it's so crowded in there, and people are signing up. I'm like, yeah, I know. And usually about this time, you want to kind of think where people won't be there, because it's packed right now, friends. People are making New Year's resolutions. A lot of people are hitting the gym. And I say good for them, don't you? The scriptures tells us that physical fitness is of value, right? 2,000 years ago in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says that physical fitness has some value. So good for them, right? What value does physical fitness have for us? What value is there in going to the gym? Think about that. Health, right? What value is there in hitting the gym? Health. How about this? You'll look better if you go to the gym. That's true. There is value to it, right? You'll look better if you hit the gym. That's just the way it goes, right? It helps in weight control and muscle tone. So if you hit the gym every year this year, it has value. You will look better. Not only will you look better, you'll feel better. Do y'all know that? People that hit the gym usually sleep better at night. They have more energy during the day, and their mood swings and things like that are all affected when they hit the gym. So going to the gym makes you look better, makes you feel better. It's more healthy. You will become more healthy if you hit the gym in 2015, right? Exercising daily strengthens your heart, lowers your blood pressure, helps lower your cholesterol. It may even lower your risk of heart disease and a stroke. I mean, you will become more healthy if you hit the gym this year. And do you know what? They even say mental health will be better for you if you hit the gym this year. People that struggle with depression, when they hit the gym, they're less depressed. So going to the gym has its benefits. Y'all with me? You'll feel better. You'll look better. Mental health, physical health, it's a good thing. So physical fitness, friends, put this down. It is of value. But the scriptures also say that spiritual fitness, think about this, physical fitness, the scripture says that spiritual fitness is of greater value. For spiritual fitness is of value in this age, friends, and in the age to come. Physical fitness, spiritual fitness, both have value. Spiritual fitness has greater value because it gives us value in this life and in the life to come. Are you with me? Think about this with me for a moment. How is spiritual fitness good for you right now in the land of the living? Think with me. If you hit God's gym and you get spiritually fit, how does that bless you in this life right now? Takes away fear. Good. What else? Gives you peace in this life now. What else? What's that? Guidance? Absolutely. Think about it, you guys. Spiritual fitness is a blessing in this life right now. For example, did you know that blindness can be dangerous? Did you know that blindness is a dangerous thing? You could walk off a cliff. You could walk into a minefield. Blindness is a dangerous thing. Listen to Jesus in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Through spiritual fitness in Christ, we see all things for what they are. It's like when you meet Jesus, the lights are turned on. Here's one of my favorite quotes from a famous scholar named C.S. Lewis. Check this out. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." C.S. Lewis, Oxford professor, atheist, became an agnostic, became a deist, became a Christian. They call him one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. Brilliant guy. If you read Mere Christianity, sharp stuff. I love this quote that he says. He says, "I believe in Christianity." This is when he finally crossed the line and said, "This is true." He says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen." How many people in here believes the sun has risen today? You believe that, don't you? I mean, right? It's there. He says, I believe in that not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The sun, S-U-N, illuminates everything. Jesus illuminates, the S-O-N, illuminates everything. Isn't that true? You know, when I became a Christian, it was like before I became a believer in Jesus, I would look into the world and I would see such a dichotomy in the world. There was such beauty with such suffering. I'd look at myself and say, you know, look at what's wrong with me with this and that and the other. And then I met God and everything makes sense. He explains it all to us. This is a fallen world. It's been marred by sin. Myself, I've been marred by sin. It was like once you meet Christ, the lights turn on. Everything begins to make sense. Billy Graham said one time, as he's been traveling throughout the world, he says, "There are universal truths within all mankind." He says, "Everywhere I've been in 156 countries, everywhere I've been all over the world, as I've met people from all over the world, they have these universal truths that are within all people." He says, "There's a universal emptiness within all humanity. There's a universal loneliness within all humanity. There's a universal sense of shame and guilt within all humanity." And he says, "There's a universal fear anywhere you go of death." And then you meet Jesus. An emptiness. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? If I'm an accident over billions of years of time and chance, if my origins are I come from nothing, then what's the purpose and meaning of my life? Emptiness. Emptiness. What's the point? Why am I here? Loneliness. Man, I remember before I knew the Lord, I could be in a room filled with people and just feel so lonely inside and not even understanding why. Then you meet Christ, I'm separated from God. Shame and guilt? We are. We're all shamed. We're all guilty, friends. In word, action, thought, and deed, we've offended our Creator. We're sin. We're sinful. We've missed the mark. And all of us have feared. And then you meet Jesus, and all of a sudden, it's like the lights get turned on. It makes sense. There's blessings for us in the present. Spiritual fitness gives us blessings now, today, right now. We see. We understand. We have peace with ourselves. We have peace with God through Christ. The purpose and meaning of our life is laid out for us. We're a child of God, our identity of who we are. God has not given any of you a spirit of timidity, but of power and strength and love and self-discipline. Child of God. There's value, in spiritual value, in knowing the Lord right now. Decisions that you make in life. You just, remember last Sunday, one of the grids of trying to discern the will of God is just open His Word. Blessings of not being blind. There's blessings for us in this life, and as the scripture says, spiritual fitness has blessings for us now and in the life to come, right? For in the life to come, for God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not but have everlasting. Is that important? Sounds like that's important. Really important. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Think of the people we lost this last year. Friends, they're more alive right now than you and I are. So there is benefit. There's fruits. There's value. Friends, good for you. Go to the gym. It has value. You want to know what's more, has more value? Spiritual fitness. Hitting God's gym is better for you than hitting LA Fitness or 24-hour fitness. Those are good things. But hitting God's gym and being not just looking at physical fitness, but spiritual fitness is of better value. Y'all with me this morning? Does that make sense? Friends, you know what? If you walk in the doors of God's gym, you know what the first workout session that he has for you is? Lifting this. This. The Word of God. You walk into the doors of God's gym, the first workout he's got for you is to pick this up. This. The Word of God. Curl this one every day. Do you know, this is more than a book, friends. Do you know what I'm holding here is a living document. It's a blessing to your life. It's of great value. This book is from a living God, and these are living words. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the divisions of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart." Think about that. Friends, this book is spiritual. The information, the data, the message is alive. It's living. It's able to touch you, your innermost being and your soul. God speaks to you in this book. Friends, it's more than a book. It's more than a book. It's living. It's supernatural. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." The Apostle Peter, he acknowledges that man had a part in writing the Scriptures. Men spoke, but what makes the Bible different from all other books is that in their speaking or their writing, the biblical authors were moved upon by God. And that's why in this book, it predicts things that happen 700 years later. How can man, can any of you predict for me what's going to happen 700 years from now perfectly? How can the Bible do that? Isaiah 53, "He will be flogged, he'll be scourged, silent before his accusers, a grave assigned with wicked men, yet in a rich man's tomb, 700 years before Jesus came," and it just nails perfectly what he did the day that he went to the cross and died. How does the Bible do that? Answer, God. God. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the workout, friends. It's the workout. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, "All Scripture is inspired by God," or "God breathed." I love that verse. All Scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Would you all take a deep breath with me this morning? Just breathe in. Breathe out. That's what God did when he gave us the Bible. God breathed. God breathed to you and to me. God breathes. This is God's breath. Divine revelation. When you open the doors of the spiritual gym of the Lord God Almighty, you are entering the world and the thoughts of God for your life. And they're blessings upon blessings, friends. Are y'all with me this morning? Does this make sense? And not just for this life, but for the life to come. Now, I want you to listen this morning to the power of the Word of God on a person's life in Psalms 1. I read Psalms 1 on Monday in my own quiet times, and I love this psalm. Psalms is probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. And Psalm 1, it just launches so beautifully. And in Psalm 1, there's imagery. There's compare and contrast about a person that goes to God's gym and a person that doesn't go to God's gym. And I just love this psalm. Listen to this psalm. Psalm 1 says this: "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." Listen to this. "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he'll prosper. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment of sinners, judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked," friends, "will perish." That's a great little psalm, isn't it? I love how the book of Psalms opens with the words, "How blessed." How blessed is the one who comes to God, to lift God's word, to study and meditate on God's word. It says, "How blessed." Just like hitting the gym is a blessing. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The blessed person is described for what he doesn't do and what he does do. He's a person that doesn't walk in the counsel of ungodly. He has learned to take wiser counsel. His footsteps are ordered by the voice of God. You can write this down. Take notes on this. A blessed man that goes to God's gym, right, doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. They've learned to walk to a different voice, the voice of God, the word of God. This blessed person of God doesn't stand in the path of sinners. His company, his friends have changed. Though this person is still a sinner saved by grace, they're a child of God now. There's a righteousness that comes through the cross of Jesus. And they stand in different places than they used to. The blessed person doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. This blessed person doesn't stand in the path of sinners. This blessed person doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. He finds no rest in the assembly of those who mock the idea of sin, eternity, righteousness, and morals, or the God that gives them. This person has been enlightened to a better philosophy. Totally C.S. Lewis in his quote. Have you ever noticed this? When people are living in rebellion to God, they go from bad to worse. Have you ever noticed that? When people are living in rebellion to God, they go from bad to worse. At first, they merely walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then, after a while, they stand in the way of open sinning and willfully participating in rebellion to God. And then, left alone, they sit along the road of misery and become teachers and tempters for all who pass by to join them. They have their degrees in addictions and darkness of soul. They become the mockers of those who don't follow them, mockers of the person that has ideas of morality and righteousness and the God who gives it. Have you noticed that when people are living in rebellion to God, they go from bad to worse? Y'all notice that? You ever met people like that? I used to be a person like that. Sitting and dwelling with those that just would mock God. And I joined the crowd. This was my life in my BC days. Do you know what that life is like? Not blessed. Empty misery, driven by fear, by hatred, hurts and brokenness and bondage. All of it. All I can say is praise God for the cross. and for people that would share Jesus with me in my journey. Listen to this. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the person that's found another way, right? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. The blessed person going to God's gym knows the voice of heaven. And in this, he delights in the voice of heaven, in the word of God. This person meditates on God's word. The blessed person of Psalm 1 understands that when heaven speaks, it's for them to listen. Do y'all know that? When heaven commands, it's for them to obey. When heaven calls, it's for them to answer. When heaven invites, it's for them to respond to the invitation. The blessed person of Psalm 1 has crossed the line with God's word. They just don't study it, friends. They delight in it. They joyfully welcome the word of God in their lives every day. They go for it. That person has crossed the line. And they meditate on God's word. That's such a beautiful word. In our Western world, when I say the word meditate, what image comes to your mind? In our Western world, when I say the word meditation, what word comes to your mind, right? The lotus position, right? Kind of, that's meditate, right? There it is. There she blows. Eyes closed, palms upward, empty your mind, empty your mind. In the Bible, the word meditation is for a completely different thought and culture. Biblical meditation is different. And it's interesting how the Bible says meditate. He tells Joshua in Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. In Hebrew, the word is haggah, which also is used for the cooing of a dove. It's the same, haggah is the same definition of cooing. Have you guys ever heard a dove coo? Isn't it beautiful to listen to a dove coo? Brr, brr. You could hear him outside, and he's going, that's so awesome. In Hebrew, that's what they're saying is a person like you and me, we're cooing God's word. We're meditating on God's word. We're speaking it into our lives. A whispering of repetitive thought, rehearsing of the truth of God in our lives, just stirring it in. Thinking on truth until it reaches our soul. This is a part of going to God's gym. I mean, here's a great verse for you. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Coo on that. Be still and know that I'm God. Stir that into you. Coo that one into you. That's when you meditate on God's word. How blessed is the person that coos on Scripture, that meditates on Scripture. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Notice the blessings of this person that goes and hangs out in God's gym. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Friends, he's found another way, right? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. By doing that, how blessed are you? Listen to this. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The person that does this, after a while, they start getting a spiritual six-pack. Right there. Well, it looks differently to God. The Bible says that this is what a person looks like who hangs out with the Lord. They're firmly planted by streams of water. They're healthy. They're grounded. They're strong. Remember when Jesus, in his famous Sermon on the Mount, at the very end, he says, he who hears these words of mine and acts upon them is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Right? Foolish man is the person who hears these words of mine and doesn't act upon them. That's like a person who builds his house on the sand. And when the storm comes, that person's life will stand or fail based upon what they're rooted in. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the counsel of the wicked, sit in the seat of scoffers. Stand, right? This person loves God's word, hits God's word, meditates on God's word. This individual is rooted. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons. Think about this. When we go to the market, there's different types of seasons when we look for things like artichokes. And I mean, when is the cherries are going to be here and the fruits of the season? Listen to this. When we're rooted in God, when we have spiritual fitness, God's fruit is produced in our lives in its seasons. Seasons. Patience in seasons of suffering. Faith in seasons of trial. Courage in seasons of battle. Wisdom in seasons of decisions. Joy in seasons of in the season of harvest. These are the fruits that comes from a person who hangs out with God. This person produces heavenly fruit in their lives. Godly character for this life, friends, and a life to come. When we follow the Lord, when we delight in His wisdom for us and His voice to us, we are like a tree planted by the water. We live. Remember when Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Man, what a blessing. Right now in this life. And it says, and whatever this person does, he prospers. What type of prosperity is the Bible talking about? Character, friends. Character, not career. Character, not career. I kept hearing over and over again, you know that you're not taking your career to heaven, but you're taking your character to heaven. And God is all about character development, because that's what you're taking into the next life. You're not taking your checkbook or anything parked in your garage. What you're taking to heaven is character. And this is the prosperity that God is speaking of. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Amen. Stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Listen to this. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. God knows our way. The way of the wicked will perish. There is a beautiful imagery in this. For any of us in an agricultural society, we all understood. Has anyone ever seen a wheat field here? Anyone ever seen a wheat field? Check out this. This is a wheat field. Isn't that kind of nice? There's wheat. And when you look closely at wheat, if you pick it up and look closer at it, there's like these corns of wheat, and then there's the stalk, and there's like all the other stuff, but what you're looking for is the wheat, okay? In the days of Jesus, what they would do is they would take the wheat, and they would pick the wheat from the chaff, and they'd look for a windstorm in the threshing floor, and the wheat would be there, and they would pick it all up, and they'd throw it in the air, and guess what? The chaff would all blow away, but the wheat of the wheat is heavier and it would come back down to the ground. The chaff in the wheat. There's an imagery here that God is using here. Listen to this. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. What is this person saying? What is the scripture saying of this person that doesn't follow God? Who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the path of sinners, who sits in the seat of mockers. They're like chaff. They're without substance. They're without spiritual weight in the eyes of heaven. In the day of judgment, they will not be acquitted. They are a mess in this life and the next. They'll perish. They blow away. There's no substance in these people. There's no spiritual weight in these people. Is that imagery for you? That's good. Hey, all, welcome to a new year. It's 2015, first Sunday of 2015. With the coming of this year, people make New Year's resolutions. It's time of new beginnings. Let's make some New Year's resolutions. Some people are going physical fitness. Go for it. Glad to hear it. That's a smart idea. Go to the gym. Go every day. Get the cardio going. Start lifting weights. Good for you. It has value. But listen closely. The Bible says that's of little value compared to spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness is of greater value in your life because spiritual fitness will bless you in this life and the next life. God says hit his gym, pump his iron, and be blessed in this life and the next. Now here's the truth. Guess what's going to happen a month from now at the gym? Guess what's going to happen a month from now at the gym? What? We're all laughing. What is? They're going to quit going, aren't they? It's so funny. I was just talking to my kids the other day. They're all going to Saddleback College. At the start of semester at Saddleback College or Irvine Valley College, you can't find a parking place the start of the semester. There's so many people, but give it about 30 days and there's plenty of parking because all the people that wanted to go, drop out. It's just the nature of the way it is. Everybody wants to do, hit the gym, New Year's resolutions, give it 30 days, they're done. Hey, here's the sad truth. That happens to all of us. All of us. There's some of us and you're going, I'm going to read the Bible every day. This is the year I'm going to go deeper in my spiritual fitness. Right on. Guess what happens to most of us? We don't make it. Do you know I hate going to the gym? I'm going to confess to you. I hate going to the gym. My wife is awesome. Frankie, we got to go to the gym. Let's go to the gym. Okay, let's go, babe. You know? Give me 5 minutes. She helps me so much. I try to go to the gym every other day. Every other day. And actually, when we got our gym passes, we go together. It's something we do together. And I like it. But I need her. And sometimes I'll say, hey, babe, we should hit the gym. She goes, she says the same thing. I don't like going to the gym. But it's good for me. It's good for me. I have a partner that I go to the gym with, and she helps me do it. Listen to your pastor this morning. I've come up with an idea for 2015 on spiritual fitness for us. What we're going to do this year, and I want you to think about this, is we're going to go to the gym, the spiritual gym, together. Together. This last year when I was on my sabbatical, I was hanging out with different churches. And there's this one guy named Scott Ryder, and he was talking to me about what he's doing in his church. He says, Frank, he goes, we've created what we call sermon-based small groups. And he goes, and let me list you all the reasons why this is such a blessing. And I was listening to this going, this is a great idea. This is the idea, friends. People listen to a message on Sunday morning. You all just heard physical fitness and spiritual fitness. You all just heard Psalm 1 and a breakdown of Psalm 1. You all just heard me speak here for the last 40 minutes. And a lot of you are going to walk out of here and go, you know, that was really nice. That was cool. There might have been something for me. Guess what happens by Tuesday? Gone. Gone. This is what we're doing this year. We're calling them growth groups. And we're going to start these at the end of this month. And it's for you that want to go to the spiritual gym. Every week, we're going to set up growth groups, small groups throughout our church. And you are going to gather together every week. And you're going to bring your notes from Sunday. And they're going to bring their notes from Sunday. And you guys are going to sit down in a group and you're going to talk about the message. There's going to be a set of questions. And it's going to be just a time of stirring in once again, what was spoken here into your lives as you sit together with other people that heard the same message. You're going to get together and go, do you guys think Pastor Frank's message stuck or was good? I don't know, you know. What was something that stuck out to you? And you share and someone else shares. as you heard the message on Sunday morning, what was one thing that penetrated your thoughts and you share and someone else shares and all of a sudden it comes back into relevancy once again? You start listening to it and you're going, I get this. Here's a new idea. You guys are all going to have, you probably have already made New Year's resolutions. I bet some of you have already here said, man, I'm going to read this Christian book and I'm going to read the Bible more and I'm going to say, good job for you. Give it a whirl. I'm Pastor Frank. I'm going to 24-hour fitness too. It has value. Both of these have value. Spiritual fitness has more value. Here's the deal. We all need help to go to God's gym. And for this next year, I want you guys to think about signing up for growth groups. And it's so simple. All you do is take your notes from Sunday, sit down, and in a group of people in homes on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll have childcare at some and middays too. Maybe some people won't want to do nights and days. We're going to get together as a church and we're going to stir into each other spiritual truths. We're going to talk and discuss and ponder and share with each other the messages on Sunday. In your worship folder, you're going to find this. I want you to pull it out. Just pull and hold it up, telling me that you're with me. You see this? Do you see this? Growth groups here at Woodbridge are designed to be small communities in which all people can meet, know, and follow Jesus. Each week, growth groups discuss and drive into Sunday sermon and God's word because we believe his word is the guide for life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen? The word of God, right? Planted, dreams, living water. Then as a community, we will support and encourage one another to apply what we've studied and live according to this truth. We encourage you to join a growth group. What I'm asking you to do is ponder this week. Ponder this. I know that it's a new year, it's 2:15, and you're probably already, yep, I've got New Year's resolutions. This is designed to help you in hitting a spiritual gym. And other people are going to go to the gym with you. You walk in there and sit down and say, man, the Bible, I understand, it's awesome. Man, it's a hard book to read. And everybody will go, amen to that. But it is possible to read it and understand it. We do it together. You come to church on Sunday and you hit a small group, a growth group during the week, and you just discuss it. Seems simple? Is it too much work? What would happen to you if you did this? I promise you, you will be a Psalm 1 person. We study together. We go to the gym together. Oh, praise the Lord for my wife. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't hit the gym half as much as I do. We do it as a group. I want you to think about this. And I, as a pastor, it's 2:15. You guys want to grow deeper in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for 2:15? I promise you this will bless you big time. I dare you to sign up. I double dog dare you to sign up. Okay? Think about this. And think about spiritual fitness. It's more important. Because this body is going to die. But my soul lives forever. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. What a blessing, man. I want you to think on this. Let's pray. And as we pray, and ask the worship team to come up. Well, Lord, it's the year of 2015. For many of us in here, God, we can't believe that you waited this long before you return. But you are not slow about your promises, but you're patient for us all, not wanting any to perish. And God, your patience for us, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would bless the study of your word this morning. God, would you help us, Lord, to just walk in faith and to walk in truth with you today. May your words speak into our lives. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. God, may your word breathe into our lives. For it is a spiritual truth. God, thank you for the regeneration. and the revelation and the illumination that you've given to us in the journey of life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say.
Let us pray. Go into the world in peace. Be courageous. Hold on to that which is good. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of the Lord God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and until Jesus himself shall come again, and then for all eternity. Amen. If you are able to help with the bringing down the decor, we'd be grateful. God bless you.
We're dismissed. We're